Let's take our Bibles then and look in Luke chapter 5 as we continue our studies through the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want any one of us to think, well, you've seen one, you've seen them all. That might be how some would look upon this, but there's something to be learned in every miracle that our Lord Jesus Christ did. Something concerning his glory, something concerning his power, and something concerning his purpose. Every miracle had a purpose. He didn't just randomly go around doing miracles to draw attention. And here in Luke chapter 5, in verses 12 through 16, we have the story of the healing from leprosy. Christ healing a leper. And this is recorded here in Luke chapter 5. It's also recorded over in Mark chapter 1. And again in Matthew chapter 8 that we were actually looking at last time with the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. The order, though, that we're following as far as chronologically is really through Mark. Mark was one of the first Gospels that was written. And it's interesting that the Mark that wrote the Gospel of Mark is the John Mark that had accompanied Paul and Barnabas, Barnabas's cousin, and then had ended up going back. And that's really, in the end, how Paul and Barnabas had a falling out. But the Lord purposed even that to where Barnabas went back to Cyprus and took John Mark with him. And then Paul went on with Silas. But years later, he asked that John Mark be brought to him when he was in Roman prison because he said, he's profitable to me in the ministry. So for a while, there was a separation. And it's this same John Mark then that the Lord used to write the gospel according to Mark, from which the others, Matthew, Luke, and John, followed. So that's why when you read, it seems like Mark wrote more of a chronological order of these miracles, whereas Matthew wrote more according to a specific purpose, as did John and Luke. But here in Luke chapter 5, we find while Christ was going around still in Galilee doing these miracles, that there was this leper. And we'll read from verse 12 down to verse 16. It says, "And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold," there's that word again, take notice, "behold a man," not just that was a leper, but it says full of leprosy, "who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean." And I love this expression here. It says, "and immediately the leprosy departed from him." It shows then that this is not an act of man, not a mere man, but that Christ, reaching forth with his hand and touching him, healed him immediately from his leprosy. You have to consider that leprosy leaves scars and marks. I don't know if you've ever seen a person with leprosy. I know they used to have a leper colony somewhere south Louisiana. Having grown up in Africa, I saw a lot of leprosy. And saw ones whose hands and limbs were bandaged because it was just eating away the extremities of their bodies. They lost their nose and ears, hands, feet, and putrid sores. It's a despicable thing even to look upon. And yet when it says here that immediately the leprosy departed from him, this means that he would have been put back in a pristine state by our Lord's direction. What a miracle to consider how just with a word and a touch, the Lord healed this leper. But then he says something surprising here, perhaps. He charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing, notice, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. It's interesting that these priests were the ones who were opposing Christ, and now Christ sends this leper back to them. Why? According to Moses' commandment, for a testimony unto them. Just because they were defiled, just because these priests were corrupt, God didn't, or Christ didn't circumvent them. Christ did everything according to the law. Right on down, when you stop and think about it, to his own crucifixion. Because who was it that delivered up the Lamb of God? That was their duty. Deliver up the Lamb of God. They did it, not knowing that all the while God had purposed that the law be fulfilled right on up to that point where he was delivered up. And it says, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And it says he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. So here's the first thing I note here in the healing of this leper, and that is the effectual grace of Christ drawing this leper to Christ. Here's all these others that are following Christ, the multitudes coming after him, but Christ's attention falls upon this one leper. I know it says there in verse 12, who seeing Jesus fell on his face. Well, how was it that he could even see Jesus except for Christ himself purposed to cross his path? That's the only way any of us has ever come to know the Lord Jesus, is that he has crossed our path. And when he saw our Lord Jesus, what did he do? He wasn't demanding that he be healed. He fell on his face. That is a picture of bowing. Seeing, when it says, who seen Jesus, he saw more than just a man. He was given eyes to see and behold in the Lord Jesus none other than God himself. Else, why would he have even fallen on his face before him? And besought him. These are all key words. Today we have a name it, claim it population. And preachers are encouraging it, that if you want something of God, you just stand up and name it. Well, he wasn't standing, he was bowing. And he wasn't claiming anything. It says he besought him. And notice how he besought him, saying, Lord, what? If thou wilt. Here was a man that the Pharisees pursued, angry over the fact that he presented himself as God and they would not bow, and they considered themselves not to be in need of a Savior. And here was one in need that the Lord drew and besought him, all the while saying, if thou wilt. That's how the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. When I find any that are seeking the Lord in that way, seeking his will and desire, and he says that thou canst make me clean. He's coming to Christ alone, knowing that Christ alone is the one who is able to make clean. But it takes two things, not only his ability to make clean, but his willingness. Could Christ speak the word and heal everybody? Absolutely. But it's not his will to do so. He's able, but he himself said that he came for none other than those that the Father had given him. That's where the fight is with people today. They want to just be able to have Christ do, show his power and heal them and take them and make them his. And that's not how or why Christ came into this world. In this land, there were actually two kinds of leprosy, and that's why I emphasized in verse 12 when it says, "Behold, a man full of leprosy." Because there was such that maybe had a bad skin disease. And sadly, that's how some even look upon themselves. They don't see themselves as sinners. Yeah, we've got some weaknesses. That's how they look upon themselves, like a bad skin disease. But with a little help, we can get rid of it. And certainly there were those, that type, that lived in that day, but it was less serious than this. Here was one in which this disease would have started as a small spot. I remember in Africa, a gentleman that attended the congregation came to the house one day, all concerned. He said, "Would you look at this spot on my forehead?" And I noticed there was just a little white spot right on his forehead. And he began to be concerned that that would be a leprosy. And I told him immediately, I said, "Well, you need to go get it checked out. I can't diagnose it. I can't tell you." As it turned out, it was not a leprosy, but it scared him because he knew that if it was, it would eventually eat up his whole flesh. And there's, as I said, nothing worse than to have a leprosy to grow on the flesh until the sufferer has nothing but stumps left for a hand or a leg. And as I've mentioned to you already, I've seen that before in my lifetime. It was literally considered to be a living death. Such was the diagnosis. And according to the Jewish law and customs, someone that had leprosy had to stay at least 6 feet from a leper. I find that interesting that we've just been through the 6 feet space because of virus. But if the wind blew toward a person from a leper, then they had to keep 150 feet away. And the only thing more defiling than contact with a leper was contact with a dead body. Those were the two things that they considered to be as defiling a person. So for this reason, as you study Scripture, see, this is more than just a man with leprosy. I believe here is a type and picture of sin and its effects. It's contagious, it's debilitating, and it corrupts the victim and makes them essentially dead while alive. A lot of people, just because you can't see the sin, they don't consider the corruption of their own flesh. But here was a leper then that came to Jesus, and I believe was drawn to him, just like Nicodemus came at night. He was drawn. That's when the Lord drew him. We know that none can come to Christ except they be drawn. That clear there in the Gospel of John. None can come to him except the Father draw him. But as I've studied, and this would be a message in and of itself had we the time, I'll just give you four ways I believe that leprosy is a picture of sin. And how this man, you can see his despair because he knew himself to be a leper and had nowhere else to turn. But just like sin, leprosy, first of all, is an inward disease. Even though you can't see it, initially outward, it comes from within. And the real cause of the disease is below the surface. Where is the real cause of our sin? It's in the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? when it leaks out like leprosy, you see the effects. And we're always surprised. You see somebody and then you hear about something they did, and everybody's surprised, like, wow, I can't believe that person did that. Well, you don't know the leprosy of your own heart if you think that way. But God, there go I. So while it may not be apparent outwardly initially, yet every one of us is born in this leprous state in this world. We're not sinners because we sin. See, that's backward. We sin because we are sinners. And it doesn't take long. You know, that little baby, how happy you are when they come out and you just look at them, oh, how cute they are. Well, given enough time, what's the first thing they're going to do? They're going to wake you up in the middle of the night crying because they want something. And it goes downhill from there. That's just the way we are by nature. The root of sin runs deep, and it proceeds from a sinful heart. Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander, all of that Christ describes in Matthew 15:19. But secondly, just like sin, it's not an inward disease, but it's a loathsome disease. It can be felt. It can make one to be uncomfortably numb with aches and unhealing wounds. All of these are the effects of the leprosy. It has a terrible odor. And it can also be heard. In other words, if it attacks the vocal cords, it can cause a raspy voice. It affects every part of the being of an individual. Well, that's why it's a description of sin, because sin affects every part of our being, our mind, our soul, our spirit. Now, depravity doesn't mean that we're as wicked as we could be. Depravity simply means that every part of what we do is tainted with sin. Even the so-called good that we think we do is nothing but filthy rags before a holy God. And that's just the way leprosy is. It affects every part of our being. So it's a disease that comes from the inside. It's a loathsome disease. But thirdly, leprosy is a separating disease. It separates us out. Leprosy would put you outside the camp for a quarantine, and not only separates loved ones and destroys relationships, but it also affects a person's ability to approach unto God. Lepers were to be put outside the camp. So that's why it's a type of sin. We're born in this world in our persons separated from God. I know that when Christ came and paid the sin debt, those sinners for whom he died, they were redeemed when he died. But when they are born in this world, they don't know they've been redeemed. They don't know that they've been justified before God in their persons, in their minds, their enmity with God, until such time as God, by his Spirit, reveals Christ in them and then draws them. And that's how then they enter into that relationship with God, their sin having been put away. But we're all lepers by nature, separated from God. And it took Christ coming to bring reconciliation. Otherwise, sin puts enmity with God. And we can see the destructive effects not only in people who are separated from God, and as we know, we all were born with our back toward God, but it also has consequences and effects in our relationships with one another. That's why we have divorces. That's why we have murders. That's why we have different violent acts. It's because of this leprosy of sin that separates people from their relationships, destroys them, but more importantly, with God himself. It takes God intervening. And the fourth effect of leprosy, or how it is a type and picture of sin, is in that no leprous person could ever cure themselves. I know people try. They think, I'm just going to turn over a new leaf and all will be well. You can't do that with leprosy. This leprosy is clearly without natural remedy. I know they have today some medicines and things that can help with lepers, but there's no remedy with man as far as this disease is concerned. That's why it's a type and picture of sin. There's no exercise program, and yet religious people like to try to get sinners doing exercise. Well, if you want to come and you kneel, you pray, you rise up, all this stuff. There's no diet. I know today there's a fad about spiritual diets, that if you'll just follow this diet, that somehow you can be a little more spiritual. There's none of that. There's no topical ointment that can ever reach the depths of this disease, and so it is with sin. It's the lack of the cure, just as with this leper here, beholding the Lord Jesus Christ, and the only way he could behold him was that Christ passed his way, that he saw him and cried out to him. And that's how then he was ultimately healed. But there was no remedy in himself. And I believe that's what the Lord does. He brings those sinners that he's come to save to the end of themselves. That's going to be your testimony. That's mine. How is it that the Lord taught you of himself? Well, he brought me to the end of myself. He's going to show you you're lost and without help, without hope, before he ever delivers you. And so we see the effectual grace of Christ, I believe, in drawing this leper to himself. But secondly, I want you to consider here in this text the effectual grace of God, of Christ, in giving him the cry. See, there's a progression here. First, the seeing of Christ, but then the giving of the cry. This is not like these popular evangelists putting words in sinners' mouth. If you'll just say this prayer after me and you were really sincere about it, then you can be sure of heaven as your own name. That's not how God works. Here we see the cry that Christ gave to this leper. So what we don't see is how Christ was already at work in the leper, drawing him and then giving him this cry. And I know it was the Spirit working, else he would never have said, Lord, if thou wilt. He would have said, Lord, I would like you to. But he said, Lord, if thou wilt. Here again, we see this is significant because leprosy is so hopeless. It leaves those affected by it so hopeless. And knowing that only a divine intervention, and that's why I say he was not looking at Christ as a mere man. He was looking at him as the God-man. That's why he says, Lord, L-O-R-D. This was not just considering him to be as other religious leaders. He acknowledged him to be the Lord, which means then the power to deliver is with him, but he must will it. That's where people go wrong today, thinking that, well, if Christ came for one, he came for all. No, he's the Lord. He's sovereign. He's the King. He saves whom he will. He condemns whom he will. But that did not keep this leper from addressing him, not even knowing the outcome. Perhaps he had heard of the Lord and seen how he had passed by, and there were many other lepers, like Christ said there in Luke chapter 4, many other lepers in Israel, but to none of them did God send a prophet save to Naaman the Syrian. That's just in the previous chapter. And so here he recognized that if he was going to be healed, it must be upon the determination of Christ himself. And I'll tell you, we're happy to have it so. I've had some get upset and walk away and say, well, if the matter's in Christ's hands, then I don't want to deal with him. I'm going to go my way anyway. Well, if you do, that's your certain condemnation. Here he said, Lord, if you are willing, you alone can make me clean. And so we find here the Lord giving him this cry. Otherwise, he would not have been drawn to him. But thirdly, we see the effectual grace of Christ in how he healed the leper. Here it says he put out his hand and touched him. This is so important here. It's not me putting out my hand to touch the Lord. Reach out and touch, you hear people say. No, it's him that must reach out his hand and touch me. And that's what he does with sinners for whom he came into this world. Think about that. He knew the ceremonial restrictions that people were not to touch a defiled body. Here's a leper. All the others would have been backing off and away. He would have been one that would have spent his life crying, unclean, unclean. And yet here we find our Lord, as he was approaching him, the Lord didn't first make him pure and then touch him. Now I can touch you because you're clean. No, he touched him as he was. Here we find a picture of Christ identifying with the worst of sinners. And yet that touch did not in any way infect our Lord. There are a lot of people that think, well, if he took our sin on him, that means he must have been made a sinner. No. That's the amazing thing about the work of Christ. He took the sin upon himself, and yet none of that sin affected him. But he died as the substitute for those sinners that the Father gave him. So we see his effectual grace and just how he healed this leper. He didn't make him clean up first and then say, I'll heal you. No, he put out his hand and touched him and healed him. And that shows that only the hand of Christ taking the sinner is what makes that sinner clean. And he's unaffected by that sin. That's why the Pharisees marveled. How can he call himself the Messiah and yet sit down and eat with publicans and sinners? Well, that's who he came to save. That's why Paul said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save who? Sinners, of whom I am chief. Oh, what good news that is. But here we see not only Christ as able, he's the Lord. Could he deliver every sinner in the world? Yes. We're not talking about inability. He's able to save to the uttermost. But what? Those that come to God by him. Who are those that come to God? What does it say? By him. That's the only way any come to God. By him. Him doing the drawing and bringing them to God. So he's able. But the question is he willing? And here, to this one specifically, he spoke those words to him which would have rejoiced his heart when he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. How is it that any one of us has been made clean? It's by the will of God the Father in his Son, determining that sinners such as we are should be made clean through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how effectual is that work? That's the fourth point I want you to see here, the effectual grace of God. The word effectual means it gets the job done. There wasn't a trial here and then, okay, let's see if it works. And then again, no, look at that word. Immediately, the leprosy departed from him. I'll tell you, for those of us that God has saved, our leprosy was taken from us when Christ paid the debt at the cross. And immediately upon completion of Christ's death, God once for all declared righteous, justified everyone for whom the Lord Jesus Christ paid the debt. What he's showing here, leading up to the cross, is why he came. It was to put away sin. It wasn't to be famous. It wasn't to wow people through his miracles. It was to demonstrate that even as he had the power to deliver such a one as this leper, the ability, that it was for this reason that he came into this world. Even so, he has the power and the ability to put away sin. And that's what he came to do. But as I said, we read that in verse 14. Some may see this somewhat as a shock, where Christ didn't tell them, well, you go around and give your testimony now, how I've healed you. No, he had to follow the law. Here, he charged him to tell no one, because this was his work for him alone. He wasn't to go out there and try to gather people in and tell them, like so many do, well, Christ, here's how he healed me. He can heal you the same way if you'll just, they make a condition upon the sinner. No, Christ's miracles were not calculated to make him famous or celebrity. That's how people today, these so-called faith healers and preachers, are attempting to do. They're trying to build up their own empires using the name of Christ. But what he told him to do in verse 14 was according to the law. Go show thyself to the priest. See, everything that Christ did had to be according to the law. And the Mosaic law commanded not only that the leper that had been healed go and report it to the priest, and the priest had to pronounce him whole, but there were also sacrifices that they were to offer. That's why I say this wasn't just a blanket healing. That if you look in Leviticus chapter 14 and verse 4, and here's where the whole chapter of Leviticus 14 deals with leprosy, so you might want to refresh your memory a little bit about it according to the law, but how the Lord purposed that those of an unclean house, an unclean place, should be cleansed and purified, but not without sacrifice. That's the thing I want you to see here. Christ had not yet gone to the cross, and so until then, this was the law, that these priests were to offer sacrifices for these that were cured from their leprosy. And in Leviticus chapter 14 and verse 4, it's a long chapter, but you get back there toward the beginning, you can see in verse 2, this shall be what? The law, not one of the laws, but the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. You see how in every way Christ came to fulfill the law? And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him, that is, to be cleansed, what, two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, that means completely, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose under the open field. And it goes on from there. Well, there's the picture of Christ's sacrifice, described as one bird that was killed and the other turned loose. It speaks of the death and what? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that he came to accomplish. So going to the priest, that's what the law required, but it's a type and picture of what Christ would do in going to the cross to pay the sin debt of that people for whom he came to die. And so verses 15 and 16, even though Christ had told him not to tell a man. Word got out. It's let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's tough not to testify what the Lord has done. This man didn't go out there testifying what he'd done, but how the Lord had been pleased to heal him. And the reason I know that probably, even though Luke doesn't specifically tell us that the leper himself went out and told people, Mark does. If you look over in Mark, this is why it's good to have these different Gospels. If you look over in Mark chapter 1, in verse 44 and 45, you can see, he says, and saith unto him, see, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony to them. Verse 45, but he went out and began to publish it much. Blaze abroad. I love that term. Blaze abroad. The matter. In so much that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. And that's why we read here, Christ removed himself, even though even as they came to him, great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. But what does it say? He withdrew himself. There again, it wasn't just a matter of going out and healing anybody and everybody. He withdrew himself and prayed. He saw his Father's glory in all of this and not man, the fame of man. We'll stop there. I pray the Lord bless the word as we've heard it.